I just learned more history about him today, just about how he's the first free agent and how he came here and won championships. And yeah, people make the comparisons, but I just looked at him like somebody who won. He came here. He can do that. I think I can do that too. I think I can do anything I put my mind to. I looked on that wall and I saw Brett Favre. I saw Reggie. I saw all those legends. And I was like, I got to be there. You go near the draft room and they're all having their hands up and they having that moment. I'm looking for that moment. And, you know, I'm going to take advantage of this moment and maximize it to reach that moment.
New Green Bay Packers defensive end, as they have him listed on the depth chart, Micah Parsons. Wearing the number one. Woo! You love to see it. And, goal line stand here. Fourth and goal for Ohio State against Texas. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. It's prediction time. It's time to get to business.
Oh, yeah.
So, earlier in this offseason, you and I, Joe, we did an over-unders picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to wonder if any of these things change.
Okay.
For our predictions.
I like it.
In terms of what is going to end up happening.
Especially after the preseason, a lot can change.
A lot can change. A lot can always change. Now, the one thing that I didn't do here.
Is keep the picks from previous?
Is acquire a sheet of paper to write everything down on.
I can handle that. I'll type it into my notes.
Okay, so we just need someone to tabulate this. Because last year I kept it on a sheet of paper. Ohio State does score on fourth and goal, by the way, against Texas. They strike first.
Oh, look at that. Two, almost halfway through the second quarter, you're almost approaching halftime, and that's the first score of the game.
First
this is
points
defensive
of the game.
Battle. They almost didn't do it.
Oh.
Good bounce from the running back there.
Yep. Fourth and goal from the 2-yard line. They do get in there relatively cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's a little bit of resistance there, and it's 7-0. All right. So I think it's time we get these we get to business here, because this is something you and I were talking about since, like, Thursday, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, Joe.
Yes.
We had some controversial picks. We had picks that we nailed on the head. There was a prediction that I definitely did not want to get right the way that I said it, and I did.
It happened.
And I scared myself for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pick that you definitely would have loved to take back last year.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the Chicago Bears. I'll just say that.
Chicago Bears winning the NFC North was definitely the opposite of what happened. They finished in last. In a division where everybody else in the division made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
Meanwhile, me with the 49ers saying that they would not win the division and finish close to last in the NFC West because of injuries, and lo and behold,
it happened.
Half of that team was battered, bruised, and beaten down by the time that the 49ers flew into Buffalo.
Yeah, that game went the way it did.
That season went the way that it did for them.
Yeah.
Which was, and like, I will never try to predict that ever again in my life.
No. No.
All right. So, what do we say that we get this thing started?
Sounds good with me. Where are we going to start?
Let's start where all things start. Right at the beginning.
Okay.
And probably the easiest division to call.
AFC East?
Let's start at the AFC East.
Okay.
Bills obviously getting the one. I don't think you and I have to discuss much about this. It's the order of the rest of the division that could get interesting here.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe.
Yes.
I know you're bullish on another team.
Yeah. It's Bills, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins. That's where I'm going with this. And I know you think they're a year away from being a year away, but I think they're better than the Dolphins and the Jets.
I'm going chalk with you on this.
Okay.
Bills, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins. Because referencing my over-unders, I'm sticking true to it.
Okay.
But it still means that it could still go 1, 2, 3, 4 in that sense.
It could. I think it will. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it really could.
Now we go from one of the easiest divisions to pick to one of the more interesting ones, the AFC North.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens probably are your one that you got to pick, and I'm absolutely going to do so there. However, I am going to change something from the over-unders.
Okay.
going Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns.
Okay. Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns.
The change I'm making is that the Steelers, I had over 8.5 wins. I am a lot less scared of the Mike Tomlin 9-8 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think the Steelers have enough in them.
So what was it again? Just so I make sure I have it correct.
I have Ravens, Bengals, finishing second in the division, but still missing the playoffs. Steelers, Browns.
Bengals, Steelers, Browns. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I like that. I genuinely do. I think that's a I think that's a good pick. I'm going chalk with you on that one. Not to just take the easy route and go the same picks, but realistically, the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, sure, they could have a Brett Favre in Minnesota-esque season there, but I don't think the Browns are doing anything.
It's also my lack of respect for Mike Tomlin as a football coach at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he's that good.
No?
No. All right, AFC South. Joe, I'm going to have a controversial pick, so I'm going to let you start.
Okay, AFC South, I have... Got to find it. I have the Texans still winning, Jaguars second, and then Colts-Titans.
I'm mixing it up on you here.
Okay.
In fourth, I've got the Colts. You're starting Daniel Jones. Your season is dead.
Yeah, okay. I just don't like I don't think the Titans are going to be great with Cam Ward the first season.
The Titans don't have to be great. They just have to be better than Daniel Jones, and I think that's the case. Even as one of the biggest haters of the Tennessee Titans, you can't out-bad Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Daniel Jones is going to get Shaden Steichen fired by, like, week 8. I'm not kidding.
Probably.
So I've got Colts at the bottom, Titans third, Texans second to the Jaguars winning the division.
Okay. So Jaguars, Texans.
Calling my shot that the Jacksonville Jaguars win the AFC South.
That's not out of the question.
And the Colts get people fired.
That is a very good prediction. I can definitely foresee that.
By week 8.
So you have the Titans over the Colts. Look at that.
The Titans
Look
over
at
the
you
Colts.
Giving a little bit to the Titans there.
It's more against the Colts than for the Titans.
I know. Just funny. All right. And now we go to the AFC West.
Wrap up the AFC here.
I'm going Broncos, Chiefs.
Ooh, you made the call.
Yep, Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders.
I heard that through the glass, Evan.
What did he say?
I heard the wow.
I think the Broncos can really give the Chiefs a run for their money in the division. I think the Chargers help with that, and the Chiefs do not obtain the one seed. I think their division record is going to be a big reason why.
I'm still saying that life is hell. Chiefs are the one in this one. Broncos 2, Chargers 3, Raiders 4.
Okay, so you basically, that was last year's standings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, life is hell. No, last year the Chargers had the second.
Oh, that's right. That's right, but the Broncos still made the playoffs because that division just made the playoffs.
It's my call from last year.
Yes.
I picked the same thing.
Okay.
It's more or less I don't believe in Greg Roman-led offenses.
I don't either. You have the Chargers third and Raiders last?
Correct.
Okay, just to make sure. Make sure for the record.
Oddly enough, looking back at the over-unders, you have every single team in the AFC West winning their over on their projections.
I do.
11.5 for the Chiefs, 9.5 for the Broncos and Chargers, 6.5 for the Raiders.
So that's why I think that division can get frisky, though. I think I think it'll switch just from a game.
I think there's variance in an NFC North type battle coming for the West this year?
Yes, I do.
Moving conferences. This is going to get pretty simple, you would think, right?
Mm-hmm. Should, theoretically.
Theoretically. And now I'm going to go ahead and mix things up again.
Oh, boy.
Give me the Commanders, then Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Then Giants.
Oh, okay.
Then Cowboys.
Yes. Put Jerry in the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going with you on that. I had the Commanders winning.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Commanders are going to really be able to pull a fast one on the Eagles. I think the Eagles are, you know, they lost a little bit in the offseason. So give me that. I love that. And the Giants winning, over their win total. It's like 5.5, right?
Three, it's 5.5.
5.5. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. It's I like
about,
it a lot.
For me, it's about the Cowboys. I think that the Giants can. You and I picked overs for the Giants. I also think there's going to be maybe a little bit of a coaching mix-up.
Oh.
And you get that interim head coach bump.
So you think, wait, coaching mix-up on the Giants?
Yes.
You think Dable's out?
I think Dable goes out because Russell Wilson's playing still.
Oh, and they want...
And then you want Jackson Dart in there. You start up with a new coach.
Wow. Jackson Dart's his boy. That's crazy, though. That would be a crazy Giants season.
That'd be a plot twist.
I'd be all for it, though, just from watchability.
But I think the Giants could also benefit from the interim head coach bump and playing a rookie.
For sure. What are we going to next? NFC?
NFC North.
NFC North.
All right. So I picked overs for everyone but the Bears. Now... What changed in the NFC North? The Packers acquired Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Packers are Super Bowl contenders.
Am I buying into the hype? You bet I am. I'm picking Green Bay over Detroit, Minnesota third, Bears fourth, and I'm sticking with the Bears at under 8.5.
Okay. I'm going Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears. I still think Detroit... I still think they're able to hang on to it because it's not all Ben Johnson that made them successful in my mind. Mm-hmm. It is Dan Campbell just as much so. The grit he inspires within those guys, they want to play for him. I don't think that goes away, and I think they're able to still get the job done. And it's quite opposite of where I had the Bears last year in my prediction.
Right.
So what was yours one more time, just for the record?
Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears.
Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears. Oh,
the Vikings are the most interesting to me because I made a bold prediction back on Monday that Justin Jefferson wins Offensive Player of the Year.
That could be crazy. I see a lot of people predicting... Why am I blanking on his name? The two-way player that just got drafted.
Travis Hunter,
yes. Could not remember his name for the life of me for some reason. He's cornerback 4 and wide receiver 2. He's not winning Defensive Player of the Year. And... As wide receiver, too, I don't think he's going to win Offensive Player of the Year.
I don't think he's winning either of them.
He's not going to win either.
Ashton Jeanty gets his revenge.
Ashton Jeanty, I think if he has the season everyone thinks he is, absolutely he's getting that. No question. NFC South we're heading to now?
NFC South we're heading to now, and I mean, obviously the Buccaneers are probably going to be everyone's pick to win this thing.
I don't think so.
Where are you going?
Bryce Young and the Panthers.
Wow!
Ignite fire beneath themselves this year. So I'm going Panthers.
Wow.
Bucks.
I'm going full Owen Wilson here. Wow.
Panthers, Bucks.
Wow.
Falcons, and then the Saints for me.
I'm taking Bucks. Panthers, I agree. A playoff team, not the division winner. Falcons in third. Saints, death incarnate.
Saints have no quarterback.
You and I picked them for under 4.5 wins this year.
I don't think they'll get it.
Brother.
I don't think they'll get it. I genuinely don't. They don't have a quarterback. Who are they going to get? Who's out there that could actually do anything for them?
They're starting Spencer Rattler. They're not even starting Tyler Shuck.
No, they're starting Spencer Rattler. They know what they're doing.
Glad you gave Tyler Shuck fully guaranteed money for... And I'm still always about players' rights. But like, he held out for wanting a fully guaranteed contract only to lose to Spencer Rattler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough.
That's just, that pick was always baffling to me. All right, let's wrap this up with the NFC West.
Okay. I'm going 49ers at the top. I think they bounce back from the injuries big time. But Christian McCaffrey has a healthy season. Brock Purdy puts up good numbers last year, even with a bit injured team, right? Like, I think they're able to get it done. From there, it's tough. Rams, Seahawks, I could see having a very similar record kind of being flipped. I'm going to say the Rams, though, get it done. Matt Stafford has a good season. The Seahawks with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold takes a step back, not being coached by Kevin O'Connell anymore. Has to really get his feet back underneath him. Losing DK Metcalf's big for the Seahawks as well. So 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals for me.
All right, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I am changing something from my over-under picks.
Okay.
Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks finished second in the division.
Okay, who's first?
The Rams.
Okay, Rams
win.
I think
Matt Stafford's going to be okay enough. there's a weird internet trend going on with Rams fans right now. Say the hashtag Stafford died weeks ago.
Oh my gosh. Is 49ers your third team?
49ers are indeed in third.
And then the Cardinals.
And then the Cardinals are in last.
Look at that.
I think that it's going to be Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals to wrap up the NFC West. All right, Joe.
I can see both of those, though. Like, 49ers on top. I feel like that division is kind of a crapshoot a little bit. Depends on who gets hot when, right? Like, I feel like there is some versatility to any prediction for that NFC West specifically.
All right, now we're going to do something different this year, Joe.
Okay.
We are going to pick not just the divisions.
Conference?
Out of these picks, we're picking playoff teams.
Okay.
So okay. I called the Seahawks, for example, to be second in the NFC West. I also think that their curse of falling just short is going to continue.
Okay.
So my playoff teams are going to be in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders winning the division. The Eagles being a playoff team. The Packers winning the division. The Lions being a playoff team.
Okay.
The division winners, the Rams, no other team from the West, and then the Buccaneers and the Panthers making the postseason in the NFC.
Okay. I'm just jotting that all down for you right now. Then I'll get to mine in a moment. The NFC. Commanders, Eagles, I'm with you on that. That makes very much sense because I just think those two are going to be really duking it out most of the time just between them. Also, NFC North, Lions, Packers, and Vikings. It's a three-team playoff.
Okay.
That's what I see going on there.
Just like last year with the North?
Yep. I think it's a similar outcome. Even with J.J. McCarthy, I have high hopes for him. And that he could put a playoff run together for them. That'd be pretty cool. And then from the NFC South, I have the Panthers making it, the Bucks falling short.
Ooh.
And then in the NFC West, 49ers and Rams is who I have.
Okay.
The top two there. So that's mine. I think three teams from the NFC North make it again.
All right, so in the AFC,
mm-hmm.
I have one team with three playoff teams, or one division with three playoff teams, and with that means that two divisions are only going to have one.
Okay.
Those divisions being the Bills with the AFC East and the Ravens with the AFC North. Both divisions have only one representative.
Okay.
The Steelers and Bengals, I don't think, are good enough to make things happen. The Patriots, I think, are close, but not there yet.
Okay.
And the AFC South brings me two representatives because the Jaguars surprise and win the AFC South, but the Texans hold strong enough to make the postseason. And then the AFC West is the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos.
Jaguars, Texans, and then Chiefs.
Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, if we're caring about seeding, but
yeah,
there it is.
All right. I'm going to remove the Texans and put the Patriots in. That's legitimately what I'm going to do.
Oof.
I think the Patriots win 10 games and sneak a wild card spot away from Houston.
Okay.
I think they're going to be battling for it. Like, the Patriots aren't winning in the division. They're going to be a wild card exit. Don't get me wrong. But I think they make it, especially with the last place schedule. From last year?
Mm-hmm.
No question in my mind that they can do that.
So now here comes the fun question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins the MVP?
Josh Allen. Is that like what are we talking about here? He goes back to back. If they have another season like last year and he does what he does again, there's no other argument for me.
I'm gonna feel so dirty saying this.
Did you say Lamar Jackson? Is that what you're gonna say?
I was gonna say Patrick Mahomes.
Oh no. 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 That you have every right to feel dirty after saying that.
I feel dirty saying that. I apologize, but I think that it's just, again, life is hell. And that's where we're going to end this.
Okay.
I feel gross.
MVP picks.
I need a shower. We're going to come back on the other side.
We want to win the Super Bowl. We are going to win the Super Bowl when we are putting our best foot forward every single year. And sometimes we might just need heavier gloves. Who knows? Who knows? I think Super Bowl or bust, whatever you want to say, the Bills need to cross that threshold. We need to cross that threshold, and we will. And the world wants to see it, and I want Mr. Nicky, Mr. Chief Guy, to see it as well. And one day it will happen, whether it's this year, next year, whoever knows, bro. We are fighting for it every year that we're on that field.
Look at Deion Dawkins giving it to Nick Wright.
As he should. As Love he it. Should. Because they at are out point, there fighting. They're going to battle.
At this point, I do admire Nick Wright playing a caricature.
Yeah, it's the
and
bit.
And playing the heel.
Yeah.
I can admire it at this point. Like, I'm not going to actually like care about what he says about the Chiefs. But I can respect it now.
It got their show an extra hour.
You know what?
And through all the it's cuts working. FS1 made, look at their show still stands.
I will say to any Bills fans, like, don't worry about it when he's playing that character. Like
when he's dropping the banners and all that stuff, it's just a bit for entertainment purposes. Yeah, that's all it is.
It's more or less like it's the
listen
network.
To him on his podcast and you'll see what he really thinks. Yeah. I mean, not like he's not giving his true opinion on TV. He's definitely a Chiefs fan, but like he goes a little more analytical and just kind of non-biased. On the podcast, which gets interesting. Mm-hmm. So check it out. It's very good. Not to plug him, but you can see a different side of him.
I'm just more or less saying, like, you know, for taking in content as a fan, as a listener, don't drive yourself mad, really, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say about Nick right there.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the bit. It's kind of what he wants you to do is go a little mad, a little stir crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fall for it, well, I can't say that I can't help you. But I probably can't help you.
Yeah.
Or how I'm going to help you is to say, don't listen to him. Don't do it. Wait. Hold on. And take a step back, breathe, and just realize that it's just the national media doing a national media bit. Joe, we did predictions, projections of who's going to make the playoffs, who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw something interesting. And I brought it up. Yesterday on the Extra Point Show with Zach, I saw the projections from Jay Fresh for the NHL standings.
Oh boy.
And I'm going to kill all listeners here right now because I'm bringing up the Buffalo Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres are in, according to his projections. And for anyone that doesn't know, his projections were the closest to accurate last year. And for the past couple of years, when the Sabres have had like vibes that are higher, like with a certain offseason, he's firmly put the Sabres outside of the playoff line.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that the metrics are kind of not with the Sabres there. And then ultimately, the team goes ahead and fouls it.
Yeah.
Now, for the first time in what I believe to be a long time, Buffalo Sabres are projected, according to this man, to make the postseason.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's cute.
That's cute.
But I'm personally I'm not gonna believe it until I see it. Until I see some on ice product and see them penciled in at the wild card 2 spot on the standings, like when we're in playoff time. I cannot get I'll get excited about the season starting.
Right.
I'm not going to get excited about potential playoff hopes this season because I did that the last 2 years,
and
it was terrible.
Me, like just, I'm Jerry Jones. I've learned no lessons.
Right.
I'm ready to get hurt again.
I am not. I will cover the team. I will talk about them. I will watch their games. I will not be optimistic about a playoff appearance until it happens. And watch, they'll win 10 games in a row, and I'll get really excited in, like, October.
I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm ready to get hurt again.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that. I just wanted to bring that up real quick, just like a fun little bit, more or less, because it's going to get interesting when we actually have to start talking about them again.
Yeah. I remember last year in the beginning of the season, you were hyping me up. You were getting me back in.
I got you into it.
It was like the Central Intelligence bit.
It was my fault.
You're I'm out. No, actually, it's too late. You're already in.
Actually, you're already in.
They think you're in.
They think you're in, so you're in.
That's what ended up happening.
And then you were in, and the Sabres, after November, decided they were not in.
Yeah. They took a vacation for the holiday pretty much at that point.
I just, at the very least this year, I just don't want them to be dead in December. Like they
have something going in February, please. Right. Like, yeah. More than a 1% chance coming back in March would be great.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
Let's put something together and have maybe a 20% at least. Can we work with that? 20%?
Like the joke is that they're eliminated by Thanksgiving, but like, no, legitimately last year at Christmas, they were dead.
They were done. They were not making the playoffs.
Because they could not win a hockey game in December.
Or November.
No, November, they were fine. They were actually top three.
That, you're right. It's normally November. The November collapse is normally what happens. Yeah. That last season, it was not. It just held on for an extra month and then was worse in December.
Oh, my God.
It's like the goal chant. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We want 14. That's pretty much what was going on.
We did not.
You would have thought it. You would have thought it because they were playing like it.
But. Yeah. It's tough. All right. Oh, so, by the way, Texas, Ohio State, not as exciting on the scoreboard as we've been hyping it up to be.
No, we were excited for it. I was excited for Arch Manning, but like we said, he looks like a quarterback who is going to be playing another year.
7-0 Ohio State at the half.
Mm-hmm. In a defensive, like ground and pound game. There's no flash happening there at all.
Nothing really.
No.
All right. So, here's what we're going to do, though. Should we go over the scoreboard in college football right now?
College football scoreboard? Sure.
Evan, hit me up. Let's get something going here with some music to get a college football scoreboard. And, well, let's start right from here. The top 25 matchups that have been involved right now, there's two games going on with top 25 teams in them. Obviously, we just mentioned number one Texas trailing number three Ohio State 7-0 at halftime. Meanwhile, number 24 Tennessee got off to a hot start against Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
The Orange are within the red zone right now. It's first and goal, first and five, at the Tennessee 9.
Could be making it a two-score game.
Could be making it back to a two-score game. Syracuse trying to fight out of the 17-point hole that they spotted Tennessee in the first quarter. It's currently 24-7 for the Vols. Other games going on? Well, let's take a look at everything happening. Tulane against Northwestern, 20-3 for the Green Wave against the Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue's up 21-0 on Ball State. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
They actually put the box score in now on ESPN.
Oh, look at that.
I can actually get stats now.
It took a little longer, but we got there. We got there.
Maryland 26-7 against Florida Atlantic as there's that. Well, let's look at the MAC now, too. UB is related in this one. They do lose on Thursday. We've got a barn burner in Kentucky between Kentucky and Toledo. It's 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that there's a 2.
Yep. So a safety happened.
A safety happened for Toledo.
Yes.
Kent State 7-3 up on Merrimack at halftime. And again, Ball State is losing by 21 to Purdue. So look out, Ball State. You're not in for a good year.
Just think, that 2 could be the only points they put up on the board today.
There's no current action going on in the Big 12.
Mm-mm.
The only other game going on in the ACC, 34-6, Pittsburgh against Duquesne.
Well,
that's not looking pretty for them.
No, that is not at all.
And then in the SEC, when I'd mentioned Kentucky against Toledo, Mississippi State, only winning by 3 points against Southern Miss right now, as Southern Miss hosting Mississippi State. It's 13-10 for the Bulldogs.
Wow.
I'm excited, though, for the rest of the evening. Your top 25 games that are going to be happening throughout the rest of the afternoon. Indiana taking on Old Dominion at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada in Happy Valley to take on Penn State.
Yes.
At 3:30. Look out for that. Like, that's just danger right there. Talk about one of the tougher places to play to start your season. It'll don't want to have to do that.
It'll be fun to just have this on in the background today. Just observe.
Georgia against Marshall also starting at 3:30 along with Alabama, Florida State. And Paul Hamilton's Iowa State Cyclones. Mm. 22nd ranked in the nation. They're hosting South Dakota after a win in a rivalry game known as Farmageddon, but Big 12 executives don't want you calling that anymore.
Yeah.
What a shame.
That is a shame. It's also a shame that the Iowa State hat no longer resides in the hat bracket either. Sorry, Paul.
How do you go ahead and say, no, I don't want this rivalry game called Farmageddon? It's a top-tier rivalry name.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, Oregon against Montana State. Oklahoma, number 18 in the country, against Illinois State. Florida, Long Island University at 7. Kansas State coming off the loss in Ireland. They host North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. The two teams that played in Dublin last week are facing the Dakotas.
That's crazy.
Right?
Good scheduling, I guess.
But then there's the one everyone's looking out for tonight. 9th-ranked LSU taking on number 4 Clemson.
That'll be a great game.
7:30.
Great game. What channel is that going to be on?
It's ABC.
ABC. Channel 7 for our local cable affiliates.
Yeah. Michigan plays New Mexico. Texas Tech plays Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Oh, yeah.
Those are games that are also going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. The big one is tonight, though.
That one's tonight. That's going to be an interesting one and a tough one that everyone's going to be happy to take a look at there. Obviously, there's going to be a change to the top 25. Boise State lost in very, very harsh fashion against South Florida on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
That's tough. And then Sunday, 13th-ranked South Carolina takes on Virginia Tech. And then Catholics versus Convicts. Notre Dame-Miami on Sunday night, 7:30, also on ABC.
That'll be a good one, too. I'm very excited for this weekend.
6 against 10. There we go. So there's your college football for the weekend.
It's a good weekend to start it off, and you're into NFL action next weekend along with college football action. So it's the teaser for it's the appetizer, if you will, for the full course.
I like that I got you to saying that. Appetizer.
Yeah. Yeah. Combination of the two words, you know, it's pretty.
Yes.
Pretty interesting. English language is interesting. You say buffalo 8 times in a sentence and it's a complete sentence.
Why you got to bring that back up?
Just saying.
Why you got to bring that back up? Because I don't even know how fundamentally that works.
I had it written down somewhere. Because I had to write it down, otherwise I wouldn't understand it. I no longer have it at my fingertips. But I can at some point, if you want to dive back into that, but I don't know.
It's not shul,
so I'm not really intrigued to do that, but it's a great weekend, and it's a beautiful weekend. Next weekend's actually supposed to be just like this, a little cooler, little warmer in the 70s, but still football weather. So we got a great 2 weekends of football ahead of us. What'd you see over there? What were you laughing at?
I looked up the breakdown.
Oh, you saw
it? Of the 8 Buffalo sentence.
Yes. Yes. It's there.
Buffalonian bison, whom other Buffalonian bison bully, also bully Buffalonian bison.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep. Sports is next.
I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to take a break to process this. Last segment before we call it a weekend here.
A long weekend.
Oh my God, that's right.
It's Labor Day weekend.
I forget every year.
It's a nice long weekend. Enjoy your day off, everybody, if you have one.
Yeah. if you have off, enjoy it. And try to remember it better than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so yesterday, White brings up the idea of the All Receivers Fantasy League.
The Choo Choo Championship.
The Oops All Receivers League that is going to happen here. And
it just happened.
I think it's also the only position you can really get away with it.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't.
There's not enough running backs. There's not enough tight ends to put 12 of them together.
No. You're right. You're right on tight ends.
Quarterbacks, you might be able to get like a group of 12 of you to do two quarterback league. But like, that's it. What are you doing? You're drafting backups then for your bench.
Yeah. See, I'm not thinking players to put a fantasy team together. This has gotten my brain stirring.
But what I'm saying, though, is like maybe like IDP you can get away with it.
Probably. That'd probably be
But an all-defense draft, you've got to be a sicko. Not to say that I'm not.
Can you imagine that? That'd be a lot of fun.
But what Jeremy did there was also probably broach the idea with the position that you can get away with it the best. Like, absolutely, it's about playing into the bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the only position that you could really well execute this with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the only other way is like IDP. And if you're doing an all defensive player draft, A, you're loving what's going on in Columbus, Ohio right now.
Yeah.
And B, you're a sicko. What's wrong with you?
Well, I'm going to make my case to be a sicko here.
All right. So Joe's going to be a sicko to end the show. What else is new?
I have that got the idea stirring for me yesterday, the all one position. And something I've been infatuated with since I found out it was a thing where you could draft coaches in a fantasy team. What about an all coaches league? Like, you don't draft.
What about an all coaches league?
You just draft like three coaches. You know what I mean? And the scoring for coaches is they earn points based on team success. So a win is a certain number of points. Challenges are a certain number of points.
Wait.
Challenges won. Challenges lost. They lose.
Why can't we add coordinators to this list?
You might be able to.
Oh, God.
Coaching coordinators only in fantasy.
Because then you got to do scoring based off of like yards per game, points mm-hmm. per game for those units.
Yeah.
And then obviously inverse it for the scoring for offensive and defensive coordinators. Obviously, the lower, the better for defensive, higher, the better for offensive, and structuring it that way. Because then that allows you to at least like draft more than just out of the 32 head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You get two head coaches, one offensive coordinator, one defensive coordinator.
You basically are just playing based on team success, offense, and defense at that point. You're generalizing the fantasy thing, which is interesting. You know? You're just generalizing player performance to team performance.
Right. I don't know if I like that.
Could be interesting. I'm going to look into this.
You look into this.
I just want to see if it can happen. I don't know if you can do coordinators.
And you chastised me for the Hall of Fame game, and you're saying, let's put all the head coaches in a fantasy draft.
This is fun. The Hall of Fame game is not fun.
The Hall of Fame game is fun for the wrong reasons.
This is fun for all the right reasons.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
Oh, I'm ecstatic to be looking into this. You have no idea.
I will let you get to work on this.
Mm-hmm. To work I will get after you know, we wrap this one up.
But. Please don't tell me what you find out.
Oh, I'll tell you everything. We got a week before the season starts.
We got a week
for
before
the Bills.
Season starts. And the next time you'll hear from this show, we're going to be at Riverworks. You should come down and join us.
Yeah, and then I can tell you all about a coaches only fantasy league.
I hate you. Go ahead and just ruin the promotion right there. So, next week we are at Riverworks for our show, but we're also going to be on earlier. We're going to be at 10 a.m.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And that's for Rally on the River. We will have Sal Capaccio with us. Joe Marino will be there. We're going to have ourselves a grand old fun old time.
I'm going to ride my watercraft there and then broadcast from out in the boats.
But if you want to stop by and say hi,
mm-hmm.
we will do that. I will make sure that Joe does not tell you about
his coaches only
fantasy thing here. But it's a Rally on the River. It's a home opener festival.
Excitement's going to be at an all-time
obviously,
high.
With the Bills playing the next day. But yeah, like I said, Joe Marino will be there. There's going to be some autograph signings. Vendors are there from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. You and me will be there at 10 a.m. We'll be joined by Sal Capaccio later on in the day.
It's
so
exciting
feel free
time.
To say hi. And of course, we'll hope that the weather is permitting to make things even easier for what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for that.
On the river. So
see all the fans and get excited.
Feel free to stop by, say hi, or don't. It's okay. Do what you want. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I am just going to say it'd be nice to meet and interact with plenty of you during our time down there. But until then, we got a whole week to get through, Joe.
We do, unfortunately. Enjoy the holiday, though.
Enjoy your holiday weekend. Enjoy your long weekend if you've got one. And
hey, the NFL season is right around the corner on Thursday night, and we'll be ready and reacting to that and more from Riverworks next week on Sports Talk Saturday. For Joe Cali, I'm Derek Kramer, for Evan on the board as well, and for our guest, Bruce Nolan, earlier in the first hour of the show today. Thank you to everyone that listened today. Enjoy your weekend. Go Bills.